I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are going to look this afternoon at the life of Joseph, and we will see how his life was really in such contrast to the lives of his brothers that we have previously seen. And this afternoon, as we consider this theme of how the Lord is with you, this is based on this repeated phrase that we have noticed concerning the life of Joseph, where the Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph. What does it really mean when we say that the Lord was with Joseph? Isn't it true that the Lord is with all of us? The Lord is with His children. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He ascended up into heaven, He promised to His disciples on the Mount of Olives that I will be with you even unto the end of the world. And this is the promise that the Lord Jesus Christ is with each and every one of us. But what we will see here when we look at this statement that the Lord is with you, it is more than just the simple fact that the presence of the Lord is with His people. What is it that accompanies this presence of the Lord? What is the fullness of this blessing that a believer can enjoy when we say that the Lord is with you? Now, when we think of this statement that the Lord is with you, we are really looking and examining the life of someone whom it can be said that he is walking closely with the Lord. And this is where this person is living conscious of this truth that the Lord is with him. And this is the truth that we need to understand, that the Lord being with us is a wonderful blessing that every Christian can enjoy. It is not only reserved for a person like Joseph. It's not only reserved for some, what we may think or what we may term as a super Christian, a more devoted Christian, a more mature Christian. This is a blessing that really every Christian, every child of God can and must enjoy. But I think the truth and the reality that we see that is all too apparent to us is that we do not live as if the Lord is with us. And the life that we portray, the life that we manifest, does not show forth this truth or this reality that the Lord is with us. So what we are going to see this afternoon is, what does it mean when we see and when we say that the Lord is with us? And how can a Christian live in the fullness of this truth that the Lord is with you? Now, to have the Lord being with you is something that every Christian must desire. You remember the account of when the children of Israel sinned against God, when they built to themselves a golden calf, and the Lord then appeared and told Moses that he will no longer go with them, but that he will send an angel to go on his behalf. Now, this account is described for us in Exodus chapter 33, and let me just read a few portions of this passage for you. In Exodus chapter 33, and in verse 1, the Bible says, "The Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. For thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way." Now, here, this account is given to us where the children of Israel had sinned against God. by the worship of the golden calf. And this was where the Lord then declared that he will not go up with them, but he will send an angel on his behalf. Moses, he understood what it meant when the Lord said that he will not go up with him. He understood what it meant to have the presence of the Lord being with him. Now, this was what Moses said in verse 14 of Exodus 33. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 14, the Lord says here, "My presence," and he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And he said unto him, that is Moses, who said unto the Lord, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? How do I know that we have found favor in your sight? We will know that when you go with us." Now, later on, what Moses will request for as a promise and as a seal of the Lord going with him is a vision of the glory of God. And after the Lord had granted Moses' request to behold the glory of God, this was what Moses then also declared. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 5, the Bible says, "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and unto the fourth generation." So what does it mean when we say that the Lord is with you? Here the Lord declared that when the Lord goes with you, the Lord is merciful, he is gracious, he is long-suffering, he is abundant in goodness and truth. And the Lord is also a just and a holy God. Hence, the Lord declares that he will judge the guilty, but he will pardon and forgive the repentant sinner. So when we think of this theme of the presence of the Lord being with us, what is included in it is the blessing and the promise of his power, is the promise of his grace, is the promise of his mercy, his loving kindness, as well as the experience of his justice. And in our text this afternoon, when we look at this phrase, this very simple statement that the Lord was with Joseph, this is what it really encompasses. That the fullness of God, the workings of God, the grace of God, the mercies of God, the loving kindness of God, the provision of God, the power of God, the glory of God is now with Joseph. And is manifested so abundantly in the life of Joseph that those around him could testify and say that I can see that the Lord is with you. Now, this is not something that only a person or a man like Joseph can experience. But every child of God, every Christian, can enjoy the fullness of this privilege of the Lord being with you. Now, of course, the question, and the very important question, is this an experience that you can testify of? Is this a truth that is manifested and seen in your life? Can others say that the Lord is with you? Now, how then can we live? How then can we walk this Christian walk? How then can we conduct ourselves in such a way where we can say that the Lord is with you? Now, the first thing that you will notice is the truth that the Lord is with you. It is even in the midst of very trying circumstances that a person might face. The Lord is with you, regardless of the circumstances that surrounds you. The Lord will ever be with you, no matter how frightening a situation may be, how inconvenient, how trying. The Lord is still with you despite these things that you might face. You can see that in Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 and 2. Now the Bible tells us and introduces this account to us where Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Now the distance between Israel and Egypt is not that far apart, depending on where the journey began and where the journey ends. Okay, so exactly which part of Egypt Joseph was brought into, we are not told. We are not exactly sure. Some historians have estimated that the journey that Joseph took from Israel or the land of Canaan down to Egypt could be 70 kilometers. Others give a more conservative estimate that it might be shorter. Some may say that it's longer. We do not know exactly, because remember that the Ishmaelites, they were merchants. They could have taken various stops in between the journey from the land of Canaan down to Egypt. But the point is not about the length of the journey per se, but the circumstances in which this journey was taken. You can travel hundreds of kilometers, and some people enjoy that, because they are traveling to admire the scenery. They are traveling to take a break and to enjoy this time of rest from their work. They are enjoying this traveling because they are traveling. They are on a holiday. It's not so much the length of that traveling. But you can imagine what a trying circumstance this was for a young boy like Joseph to travel down from the land of Canaan to Egypt, where he was brought down by the Ishmaelites, these merchants, and he knew that he was going to be sold as a slave. We can only imagine the turmoil that would be in his heart and in his mind. Along the way, would he have been thinking, wondering, why did my brothers do this to me? Could he have been wondering, thinking, will I ever get to see my father again? Will I ever get to return back to the land? And perhaps if it were any one of us, we will also be thinking about, maybe how can I get back at my brothers? I'm going to take revenge. These would be the things that we may think about. Joseph, being a godly and upright man, would most likely have not thought of such things. Now you can just imagine how long that journey was. Even the journey from the land of Canaan down to Egypt must have been so trying. And then of course, not only was the reflection of the past something most trying, even just the thought of what is to be in the future must have been so difficult to bear. What am I going to expect in the days ahead? What is going to be of my life? Who am I going to be sold unto? What is going to become of me? Now later the Bible tells us here that he was sold to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh. And the whole idea of him being bought and sold tells us that he is now a slave. This was a very trying circumstance. Remember, in all of this, the Bible introduces to us earlier on in Genesis chapter 37 that Joseph was only 17 years old. That is before national service. I wonder whether those in national service may feel sometimes when they enter into their camps. Do you feel that maybe you are treated like a slave? Now, I don't think, no matter how badly we may be treated, what we go through can ever be compared to what Joseph went through. Yet, despite this unfamiliar place and an unforgiving place, yet despite this unfamiliar culture, with the unfamiliar people, with the foreign language that they spoke, despite all these things that Joseph faced, and we may also add the different gods that they would worship. In Egypt, they would have their own false gods, as well as Pharaoh, which they may even worship and regard as a god. And in the midst of all this trying circumstance, the Bible declares that the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. This shows us that we can experience the fullness of the truth that the Lord is with us, regardless of the circumstances that we might face. In our Christian walk, will we only be able to walk victoriously? Will we only be able to walk close with the Lord? Will we only be able to walk in this wonderful communion and fellowship and devotion when the circumstances are pleasant? In a pleasant circumstance, maybe in our imaginations, it would be where the things in our workplace is going well, things are going smoothly, we have very good relationships with our bosses and our colleagues. And then when we look at our family, all things are provided for. We have sufficient food, clothing, water. Our children are going to school and they are receiving good reports in school. And then when we look at the church scene, and when we look at the scene in the world, for that matter, you know, now, things are progressing. Things are opening up. Things are resuming and becoming back to normal. And in the best of circumstances, that is when it is so easy to walk with the Lord. It is so easy to do my devotion. It's so easy to now be committed to pray. It's so easy to talk about the things of God. It's so easy to experience the presence of the Lord with me. Is this the kind of imagination that we have of what it means to walk with the Lord? Now we need to realize that if we will not walk with the Lord, even in trying circumstances, unlikely we are going to walk with the Lord, even in pleasant circumstances. Really, the issue is not about the circumstances, whether pleasant or whether trying. If you will not walk with the Lord, you will not walk with the Lord, whatever the circumstances. Sometimes we say, and we think, and we argue, perhaps even, you know, when someone has backslidden, and you try to encourage this person to return to the Lord, but this person gives various reasons why he does not want to return to the Lord. And sometimes the reasons that he would give is because of how difficult his life has been. He may say, it's easy to worship the Lord when you are going through this or that or this, when you're enjoying the blessings of life. But how can I worship the Lord when I'm facing this or that? You do not understand the struggles that I face. But don't you see that to be with the Lord, or to have the Lord being with you, is despite the circumstances and the trials and the sufferings that a person may go through. The Lord is with you, even in the worst of circumstances. Now, this truth that the Lord is with you will be a theme that you see through the life of Joseph. Later, even when he was thrown into prison, this was the same consistent truth. And I believe that even when he was promoted to be the second most powerful man in Egypt, this was the same truth that continued on with him, that the Lord is with you. And is this truth that you have believed in? Are you convicted of this truth? Is this your desire that the Lord be with you? We have already defined what it means to have the Lord being with you. You experience and you taste of His mercies, even in the midst of most trying circumstances. Can you see God's mercy in this? I mean, whatever that Joseph was going through then, can you see God's mercy in this? Now, probably, because this is not what the Bible says here, but we can imagine that a man like Joseph, on his way from the land of Canaan down to Egypt, he will not be plotting revenge. He will not be thinking about how he can get back against his brother. He will be thinking thoughts of God's mercy. He will be thinking upon thoughts of God's grace. He will be thinking upon thoughts of the loving kindness of God. You know, when we come to the end of the testimony concerning Joseph, later what we will see throughout after this whole account would be where Joseph will testify that even though the brothers thought and designed all these things for evil, but God meant it for good. This is what it means to know that the Lord is with you. That even when you're facing all these things, conscious in your mind is the thought that God is merciful, God is gracious, God is full of loving kindness, God is just, God is my judge, the Lord is with me. It will be so true. I cannot go through this circumstance if the Lord be not with me. This would be similar to what Moses declared. How can we go through this journey if the Lord does not go with us? If the Lord just merely sent us an angel, we do not want to go. But if the Lord does go, then we can go. Do you fill your minds with this thought that the Lord's loving kindness, that the Lord's grace is sufficient, that He is ever with you? Even through this COVID-19 situation, I know that even in other aspects of our lives, some have gone through various struggles. I know of some who have shared that they have lost jobs. I do not know whether the same is also for you over here. Some have lost jobs, and some also have strains in relationships, even within the family. There are various trials that they are now going through and facing. And then, of course, beyond this, I believe in the worship of fellowship, the aspect of fellowship and the aspect of worship. Some are also affected by it. We thank the Lord that we know that many desire fellowship, and not being able to fellowship has affected many. They feel discouraged. They feel downcast. They are unable to share the burdens and the struggles of this life in the same way where they used to be able to. But now, even despite all this, can you say that I know that the Lord is with me? That His loving kindness is with me? Whatever the circumstances may be, I have the presence of the Lord. You know, sometimes when I read of the testimonies of faithful Christians of old, from the time of the Reformation, even during the time of communism, when you read of some of these testimonies of Christians who were imprisoned, who were tortured, in the time of the Reformation, you know, when we visited Europe, especially in the UK, they were sharing and describing some of the means which these Christians were being tortured. Because with the Reformation also came the Counter-Reformation. The Counter-Reformation was the movement by the Roman Catholic Church that sought to oppose the work of the Reformation. Many of them were imprisoned, and they would try to use various ways and means to break down these Christians. I remember reading also the testimony of a man like Wang Mingdao. Right, in China, the various tortures that he endured, sometimes this torture will be psychological. They do not torture you, but they torture your loved ones. How are you going to bear all these things? What was it? What was the truth that was able to keep them to persevere, to endure, even despite all this? It must be the truth that the Lord is with them. Can you see and live in the fullness of this truth, even in the most trying of circumstances? You know, you can enjoy this truth, because the circumstances is not that which determines whether the Lord will be with you or not. The Lord will be with you, even in most trying of in the most trying circumstances that you face. But the second thing that we also see here is that the Lord is with you will be manifested through your testimony. Now in verses 3 and 4, what we see concerning this truth that the Lord was with Joseph is this. The Bible says that his master saw that the Lord was with him. You notice here the Bible says that the master was able to see it. The master was able to recognize it. Now what was it that the master saw? That the Lord was with Joseph. It's most definitely not that Joseph had a glow on his face, just like how Moses had that glow on his face after he communed with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. That was not the case. But what was it that his master saw in Joseph? Joseph must have told his master that his motive, that his purpose, that his desire in all that he did was for the Lord. Joseph must have told his master about Jehovah. Now the name that the Bible identifies here in this phrase, the Lord is with you, is the covenant name of God, the Lord Jehovah. And this name Jehovah is a very unique name. It's a name that can only be used to identify the God of Israel, the one living and true God. It's a name which distinguishes this God from the false gods of the world, the false gods of the nations, the false heathen gods of the land of Canaan, or the false gods of Egypt. This name stands distinct. This name is unique. Joseph must have told his master of this God. The Lord God, I know that this is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I know my Lord is the one who has established his covenant promise with my fathers. And Joseph knew this God, and now Joseph must have taught his master about this God. I too want you to know this God. And now the master would view all that Joseph did, his life, his words, his speech, in light of this truth, that he did it all for his Lord. And that's why the master could see that it was the Lord that made Joseph prosper in all these things. As Joseph was diligent, as Joseph was faithful, as Joseph was honest, sincere, trustworthy, so the Lord blessed Joseph, and the master, together with that testimony of Joseph, now was able to recognize it must be because the Lord is with him. Can children see this in parents? Can your friends in school see this in your life, that the Lord is with you? This is one thing. Now, of course, that's not to say that it's not an important thing. But it's one thing to merely speak about your God. And yes, the Bible tells us that we need to speak, to tell forth, to preach, to teach. There's an element there where we need to speak about our God, to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell others about who He is, what He has done, how He has saved us, how He has died for us. There is an important part that we need to tell others about the living and true God. Parents, the Bible does emphasize that. You teach your children, bring up your child in the ways of the Lord. Teach them the fear of the Lord. Teach them the word of God. Teach them the commandments of God. You teach them, you tell, you speak. But beyond this telling and teaching and speaking, the people that you have taught these things to must be able to see that these things are real in your life. They must be able to see this through the things that you do, through the things that you say. You know, parents, when you want to teach your children about God, it is not through just merely the family worship. Again, I believe that that's a very important part of family life. When you come together, you sit around the table, and maybe you ask your children, share, how was your day? And then you pray with your children, then you open the scriptures. You have this time of family devotion with your children. That is very important. But together with that, the children must be able to see in your life how you react to things that are not pleasant. How you react to financial difficulties, for example. Children will observe you. They will see. Are you filled with anxiety? Are you filled with worry? Why is it that parents, that they can, in our family devotion, share about faith and trust in God, share about the provision of God, and yet when they face this financial difficulty, then our parents, they are just so full of doubt, so full of worry. What will the children see? They will see an inconsistency. If Joseph merely talked about the things of God, but he does not live out the goodness of God, he does not live out the loving kindness of God, he does not live out the justice of God, then all that Potiphar will be able to see is that this is just but an empty talk. That is the inconsistency between what we have said and what we live in light of what we believe. Can children see your God through your life? What does it mean for the Lord to be with you? We have explained. The grace of God, the mercies of God, the loving kindness of God, the justice of God. And can others around you see this truth that is so real in your life? You know, in the past, people used to share how that there's something different about Christians. Sometimes they may not be able to put a finger down to identify what is it that's exactly different about Christians. But they are able to say that there's just something different about Christians that people can notice or people can observe, that people can see. You know, there are various experiences, whether it be in the army or even in the past, where we have heard testimonies like that. You know, where through certain things that they have done, maybe in the army, when they go outfield, and then certain equipment gets damaged along the way, and then now the superior asks this person, oh no, now your equipment is damaged. In fact, this is recently what one youth just shared with me. You know, this equipment is damaged, and now how? You know, well, I can cover this up for you. Right? Maybe you just say that this thing happened, okay, and so then it just resulted in that. It's not your fault. You are not the one who caused it. Okay? And sometimes it may be also easier for the superior because of certain things, the certain reports that they have to make. So how would you react? This person said, I cannot lie. And then the superior is able to notice and see there's something different about this person. Maybe on the least level, he may be able to just say that this person must be a religious person. But now if you are able to tell him about Christ, he will be able to say this person is a Christian. And this is something that happened. And these are testimonies that we have heard and seen before, where others can somehow sense and tell that there's this thing that's different about this person. He must be a Christian. He does not do this. He refuses to compromise. He has convictions. He has values. He has principles. He must be a Christian. But I wonder, is it still the same today? And that when others look at your life, can they say that this person, there's just something different. I cannot put a finger down to it. But maybe he's a Christian. The Lord is with you. Must be seen through your testimony and through your life. The Bible tells us here that Potiphar was able to see that the Lord was with him. And through that, Potiphar then also showed favor to Joseph. Joseph found grace in his sight and he served him and made him overseer over his house. In this particular case for Joseph, the Lord moved the heart of Potiphar so that Potiphar would show favor unto Joseph. But this is not our expectation. and we need to realize and remember that. That when we live this testimony of faith, this testimony of the Lord being with us, not everyone is going to be favorable towards us. The Lord may move some, that because of our Christian testimony and faith, we may find favor in their eyes. Now, sometimes we may find favor in their eyes because merely they do not care about our God, they do not care about Christ, but they only care about how advantageous we may be of them. Because as a Christian is faithful, as a Christian is honest, as a Christian is diligent, surely even those who are unbelievers may say and see that there's a usefulness of these Christians, and that is why they found favor in the eyes of the Master. But that is how we ought to live. Sometimes they may, because we are faithful and diligent, you know, therefore entrust us with more work, greater responsibilities. In that way, they are just merely using us, but we have found favor in their eyes. But then, yet at the same time, we also need to realize, as the other portions of Scripture does show us, that the world will hate Christians. Now, when you show forth a testimony for Christ, the world will despise you. Sometimes this is the ironical thing about how unbelievers view Christians. On the one hand, they admire them. They admire them for their conviction. They admire them for their devotion. They admire them for their honesty, their sincerity, their diligence because of the God whom they serve. Yet at the same time, they also hate them. They hate them for the very same type of conviction that they have. They hate them when they uphold the truth. They hate them when they want to do illegal things. And these Christians refuse to do illegal things. So here, the Bible gives us just about one side, one perspective of how Potiphar regarded Joseph. But Christians, we need to be prepared. That yes, at times the Lord may move the hearts of those whom we serve and those whom we may interact with to be able to see the Christian testimony that we bear for Christ, that the Lord is with us, and that they value that. But they may take advantage of that. But at other times, they may also despise the very same convictions that we hold. But Joseph, and the key is this, did not do it for Potiphar. His faithfulness was regardless of how Potiphar would treat him. Joseph did not leave out this testimony for Potiphar to show favor to him, to get a reward out of Potiphar. That was not Joseph's desire. That was not Joseph's motive. He just lived out this testimony because that was who he was. And so it is also for us as Christians. We must live out the truth that the Lord is with us, regardless of how others are going to treat us. If the Lord so moves the hearts of some that they now show favor to us, then we thank the Lord for that. We praise God for that. But if, because of living out that the Lord is with us, now cause some to despise us and persecute us and hate us, then we must say that we count it a privilege to be counted worthy to bear in the same sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. But can others see that the Lord is with you? Now, when you live in this truth that the Lord is with you, and you live out this testimony for Christ, there will be great blessings. Verses 5 and 6, and this is also together with verse 2, where the Bible says that he was a prosperous man. And in verse 5 and verse 6, it came to pass from that time that he had made him an overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. The Lord is with you. Now here you may see, and when you read these two verses, you may see that the Lord, when He blessed Joseph, what Joseph experienced was the promotion, the prosperity of things, the successes of his hands. But I believe that the greatest blessing that Joseph experienced here was not just so much that the master trusted him, that the works of his hands were fruitful, nor that all that he did was prosperous. These are blessings indeed. But I believe that the greatest blessing here was that Joseph recognized that the Lord blessed. The Lord blessed. It was not just merely that Joseph was blessed, but it is that the Lord blessed. You know, the greatest blessing of having the Lord being with you is that this is an experience that you are going to experience that is ever new. This is an experience that is going to be daily, that is going to be so refreshing, that every new day, you know that the Lord blesses, that the Lord is with you. The greatest blessing that Joseph experienced here is the reality and the truth of the Lord being with him. His mercies are ever new. You know, when we use the expression, His mercies are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. What does it mean to think of God's mercies being ever new? Because every new day, there are new challenges. Every new day, there are new uncertainties that we face. Every new day, there are new trials. Things that may have gone on well for days, weeks, months, and even years can suddenly just change overnight. Every new day, we need God's mercies. But the mercies of the Lord, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The greatest blessing is where you can experience how real God is in your life. And of course, God can choose to bless you in whatever way He pleases. Can God bless through material things? If it's the Lord's desire, He can. And He does. In the case of Joseph, it was the Lord's will that He would promote Joseph. It was the Lord's will that the works of His hands become fruitful. This is the blessing of the Lord. But yet, we also do see examples in the Bible of those who are faithful to the Lord. Those who experience the Lord's presence in a very real way. And what they experience will be greater trials, greater sufferings, greater afflictions, like the Apostle Paul. Was the Apostle Paul faithful? Can it also be said of the Apostle Paul that the Lord was with him? I believe very much so. But what Apostle Paul experienced was only greater sufferings. He experienced rejection, shipwrecks, beatings, even being stoned to death when he wanted to do the work of the Lord. But the same truth can be said of the Apostle Paul. I mean, if the Lord so wills, He can bless with material blessings. If the Lord so wills, He can bless with the fruitfulness of His hand. But the blessing of the Lord being with you is that you know and you experience the fullness of the Lord being with you. When a Christian is so conscious that the Lord is with him, when he lives in the reality of it, there's nothing else that he will need whereby he may find in it a blessing. Just to know that the Lord is with you, just to know that you're walking in His presence, just to know that you're safe in His arms, is blessing indeed. But is this what you have been enjoying? Is this what you long for? Is this what you desire as you walk with the Lord? Every Christian can enjoy this blessing. You know, to have the truth of the Lord being with you is for every child of God. But sadly, not every child of God is enjoying it. You cannot enjoy the truth of the Lord being with you if you are living in sin. You cannot enjoy the blessings of the Lord being with you if you are pursuing after the world, if you are pursuing after the praises of men. This is how you will not be able to enjoy this. But when you turn to the Lord, you walk in the Lord, you live unto the Lord, you can enjoy the blessings of the Lord being with you. He, that is the Lord, is with you. What does it mean for the Lord to be with you? We have defined this phrase of the Lord being with you that includes His grace, His mercies, His loving kindness, His power, His majesty, His glory, His might, His justice, His truth, the fullness of God is with you. How can you experience that? It is despite the circumstances that you face where the Lord can be with you. Now, nothing can separate us from the love of God. So don't let any circumstance come between you and the Lord. But the Lord being with you must be a testimony that we bear. It must be a testimony that we live out. There is a consistency of life that we see. And with this truth that the Lord is with you, there is a great blessing that you can enjoy. Yea, even the blessing of knowing that the Lord is with you and experiencing this truth day after day. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we thank Thee for the testimony of young Joseph, that even when he was sold as a slave into Egypt, this truth was what he experienced and what he lived out, that Thou art with him. And O Father in heaven, we pray that Thou wilt help Thy people today to also experience the fullness of this truth, to walk, to live every moment, whether it be in our thoughts, whether it be in our actions, and the words spoken, that Thou art with us. O Father, sometimes we admit and we realize that we are so forgetful. It could be because of our sin, or it could be because of distractions, or whatever it may be. We have not lived as if Thou art with us. For this, O Lord, we ask that Thou wilt forgive us. But may Thou help us to experience the reality and the truth of the Lord being with us. How so wonderful to think of how the Almighty God, a creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who is full of power, majesty and glory, is with His people. O the Lord, then, why do we need to fear? What can cause us to be afraid when Thou art with us? So, Father, we pray that for every Christian here, we may experience this wonderful truth. We want to thank Thee again for Thy grace and Thy mercy ever so sufficient for us. And even for this afternoon's worship service, we thank Thee for the privilege to be able to gather in this manner to worship Thee. May Thou continue to permit it to be so, and if it be Thy will, that we can enjoy the full worship again with the freeness to sing and the freeness to fellowship with one another. O Lord, this is our longing and our desire. But nevertheless, we do thank Thee for even this provision that Thou hast given to us, for we know that Thou art in control over all things. May Thou bless us, and may Thou keep Thy word in our hearts. Hear this our prayer, O Lord, for we ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.